Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
All right. Hi, everybody. What's up? Welcome to Food for Thought. Podcast Gabfest for a multiracial mix of queer writers gather around the table to talk about sex, identity, culture, what we like to read, and who we like to read. Food for Thought. We put the tit in titular. We put the dick in Dickensian.
Sometimes.
And we put the cum in compartmentalizing trauma. welcome to Domino Soundfest. We are your lesson, obsession, ascension, and we wouldn't be anything without Alex and Kenya. Thank you so much. You were the reason for the season. Clap or die. Clap or die. Thank you.
Wait.
Can I clap and die?
Absolutely. I am Tommy T. Spico, Indigenous American poet, TV writer, screenwriter, and I'm a little bit sleep deprived. This is going to be TMI, but who am I? I'm a little bit sleep deprived because I kept having these vivid dreams that my cousin was fucking me. And he's dead.
Oh!
Yeah. I knew you would like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Maybe there's a reason we don't do live shows anymore.
The world has gotten too dark. No. I'm Dunn Michelle Norris. I'm a reader and a writer, a former figure skater, and I am entering my author era because I finally sold my novel. Woo! And let me just say,
sell your novel, Dan.
Have you finished it, though?
I did finish it. I finished it to sell it. And shout out to Random House, because it turns out they pay a bitch real quick. Oh. We love to see it.
And I'm Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer, and sentient panic attack. It is rough out here.
Speaking of, happy Pride-pocalypse.
Ah!
My God.
Like, I literally came into New York just as the mustard cloud descended, and I was like doing a reading on the Brooklyn Bridge, and my sinuses was getting all swollen and fucked up, and I was just like, for a second, I was like, because it's been a while since I've been here. I haven't been here since January 2020. And I was just like, does New York just do this now?
I honestly feel like every other month, there's like some new catastrophe in New York. There's always something going on. So when this happened, I wasn't like totally surprised. I was like, of course, the sky is yellow. It's orange. It's giving dusk, but it's not actually dusk. It's like sad and horrible. Mm-hmm. And none of us can breathe.
Yeah.
I think the world should end in June. That sounds very relaxing. Oh, like a good nap. Just end it.
You just want to sleep through Pride Month because you hate the queers.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
I am going to be napping all of Pride Month. I actually literally just booked an Airbnb in upstate New York for Pride Weekend. Highly recommend. Get out of here. Everything is so crowded and expensive.
Ugh. Honestly, it does fuck up the traffic. You can't go anywhere.
It's horrible.
All the streets are closed. It's a mess. It's a mess.
You know what? It just...
Cancel Pride.
I wouldn't go that far. I would say it's not for me. I have too much shame, but also like crowds, chanting, and like midday heat. And I'm like,
Yes, day drinking, sweating, spending money. No, miss me with all of it.
But Dan, will you tell us what we got on the menu today?
Y'all, all right. We've got a good show for you. First, we've got our most iconic thought game ever. Then we have an adventure in trade. Then... we remind a bitch that she needs to pay us our money, and our dessert is the here and now.
Yes, take it away.
I'm feeling a little peckish, so I think we should start the top of the show the way any good top should, with our uproarious appetizer segment, Amuse Boosh. Amuse and Boosh. To amuse your booshes, we're doing swipe right, swipe left.
And you all should participate. This is active.
Yes.
We want to hear how you would swipe.
You know, left is to the left, and then right is, you know, good. We're good to go. So first, swipe right, swipe left, Pedro Pascal. Right.
Swipe right.
I mean,
the ultimate daddy, swipe right.
I just remember him from Game of Thrones when he got his head popped like a grape. I was like, See, because here's the thing. I hadn't ever watched Game of Thrones, but the finale was coming up. I lived with my friend Roy, and he was really into it. So we're going to watch the finale together. So I binged the entirety of the show in 1 week. And that moment, I was like, I have to take a walk. You didn't just fucking destroy my bisexual king like that. But then the thing is, it was done by the Mountain. You know what I mean? And that guy's.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I want Pedro Pascal to pound me until every covalent bond in my body is broken. I want to be missed when he is done.
So I have never watched Game of Thrones, and I've also never watched The Last of Us. So my exposure to Pedro Pascal is basically just Instagram.
Not bad.
And for a minute,
that's not
I
bad.
Didn't get it. And then I saw that interview where he talked about how, he was like, my protective side is lethal, when he was talking about his trans sister. And I was like, oh, that's all I need. Because I love to feel taken care of by a daddy. That's what it is. And my pussy just burst wide open. I was like, I'm ready to go. It's Niagara Falls up in there.
The only thing that makes me want to be anti-trans is so I will get killed by Pedro Pascal.
Honestly, fair.
Okay, swipe right, swipe left.
Put 'em.
Right. Right.
These are too easy to use.
Okay, but do you know what it is?
I do.
No, you don't.
It is a song by Kylie Minogue.
Okay. I'm impressed. But do you know what padam means?
I'm with it. Hello, fellow young people.
Do you know what padam means?
It's a heartbeat.
Okay.
I'm with
all right.
it. I'm
all right.
it.
Okay.
So just making sure.
The thing is, I really, I was into it. I'm definitely into the song. The memes are fantastic. But then, I started hating it because, the gays did what the gays do. And I'm going to take a quote from Heron Walker, the illustrious person sitting over here.
Which friend of the show.
Maybe they shouldn't have given us rights.
No. We don't deserve that.
Because then it just became everything is everything kind of gay is put on. So this show, very put on.
Very put on.
Domino Soundfest, very put on.
Very put on.
And that started to happen and I was like, oh. Anyway, swipe right, swipe left, labor unions.
Swipe right. Pay your writers.
I'm a member of the WGA. We are on strike right now. We're out there every day picketing corporate pigs who are literally trying to destroy. This is an existential fight against writers. They would do this shit without us if they could, and they're going to try to do it with AI. And also, this is patently a movement to destabilize labor unions in this country, because the WGA is one of the most powerful and they are prepared to teach us a very expensive lesson.
Fuck
so
them.
Go to WGAstrike.org if you can sign up for a shift, figure out where they're picketing. I shut down a Marvel production the other day.
So. Wait. You're a superhero.
What's that?
You're a superhero.
Where's your cape?
Heroine, sorry.
A caftan. I did get a
yes.
I got my first caftan. Anyway.
We are in our caftan era. It's true.
Okay. Swipe right, swipe left on monkeypox.
Left.
This was just... So, Joe, what's going on with the
Raise pox? Your hand if you've had one vaccine against the mpox. Raise your hand if you've had two. Everyone get your fucking vaccine so we can fuck all summer. Please. I want to fuck. The wastewater data are troubling, so just get your vaccine, monitor for symptoms, get tested if needed, because we want to be out there. I want to nap and fuck and not leave the house for any other reason than that. So we all need to work together, okay? All right, good.
Honestly, shoot me up with all the vaccines.
Every
and I don't
vaccine.
Even want to fuck. I just want to not get sick.
This is courtesy of Den Michelle Norris. Swipe right, swipe left. Khalees and Bill Murray being a couple.
Have people heard this key piece of news that dropped last night?
I see a lot of faces that have not yet seen the pictures of them together. And ignore the show for the next 30 seconds. Go to google.com and make sure you see the picture of them together.
The pictures are crucial because, Khalees is aging as a black woman does. Beautifully, flawlessly, no cracks. And Bill Murray
looks like,
is aging like a cishet white man.
He looks like the back of my scrotum.
Like, he looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Like I said, we said the same thing.
But he is really wealthy. But then again, Khalees ain't broke. No. So I don't know. I don't know.
So is it true love?
I don't. Listen. Apparently they've come together in grief.
What?
They're both grieving someone. Yeah, that's what the article said. So we make a little bit of an allowance for that, I think, right?
I don't know.
There's a lapse in judgment.
All right, okay. Swipe right, swipe left, Pat Robertson.
That motherfucker's dead. I swipe right on that.
I feel like Pride Month swiped left on Pat Robertson.
Yes!
So, the answer is out there.
We lost Reagan in June. We lost Pat Robertson in June. Can we all just say a silent prayer? Oh, not so silent prayer. Kill Kissinger. Kill Kissinger. Kill Kissinger. Kill Kissinger. Okay. Let's just cross your fingers, people.
The entire far right. Just tidal wave them out. Just go. Just go.
Okay, this is the final one. Swipe right, swipe left on podcasts.
Swipe right.
Swipe right on Domino Sound podcast.
Swipe right, left on
podcast.
Honestly,
podcasts, the rest
right
can go.
On Domino Sound.
Yeah, right on Domino Sound. Kenya's like, do we need to pivot?
Do we need to
What's
pivot?
What's happening?
We're pivoting to video. Pivoting to video. We're like Mike.com in 2017 or whatever, pivoting to video. Oh
my All right, God, y'all, please. Thanks so much for playing that game with us.
Hey, thotties, how you doing? This is producer Kenya, and I'm with producer Alex.
Hey.
So we just wanted to let you know that this special live episode of Food for Thought has been brought to you by our friends at Meta Queens.
At Meta Queens, their mission is to empower and uplift the voices of queer creators and artists in the digital space. They strive to inspire, educate, and entertain, creating a digital haven where everyone can feel seen, heard, celebrated, and protected.
One way to become a part of the vibrant, growing community is to get your own Meta Queen. You'll get access to the digital community of queer creators and allies who appreciate queerness and art in duality while donating 50% of the funds to the Transgender, Gender Variant, and Intersex Justice Project.
So follow Meta Queens on Twitter and Instagram for more updates and exciting content at Queens Meta, and visit their website, www.metaqueens.io, to join their community and be the change.
See you in the digital world.
We are going to move nice and quick into our sexy, delectable second segment where Teebs is going to share with us a pretty spectacular impure thought.
Let's just call this what happens in Vancouver stays in Vancouver. So, like, I work in TV now, and every now and then I get the chance to work on set. And it's the most amazing place. It's like it's magical, and I love people so much, and I just like love going up to people. Everyone who's doing anything, the AD, the script coordinator, the people who lifting all the shit. Like I just like the camera people. I just like I love hearing the hair and makeup ladies. They have the best gossip. They know they know all the gays, and I just love like hearing how people got to their job in film and television, and also how the camera works, like when the DP comes in, which means
the
director
DP.
Of photography, director of photography.
When the DP comes in.
Director of photography.
We love a DP.
Director of photography. Director
Raise
of
your
photog-
hand if you've been DP'd. Yes!
We love to see it.
And because I've gotten to know some of these people, sometimes they let me shadow them on other productions. I'm not going to say what production I was on, but I was in Vancouver. I wasn't supposed to be on set that day, but somebody on set, the writer on set, sent me a picture of the back of this man and was like, I think he's like 6'10". And I was like, excuse me. Immediately showed up on set. I mean, that person was a little bit shorter than me and they overestimated. It was more like 6'6". But anyway, yeah. And then I was like observing him from afar. You know, I was kind of like letting the wildlife kind of like do its thing. You know what I mean? I wasn't going to interfere as a documentarian.
The hippos are drinking from the pond.
Exactly. Then I said, I went up to him and I did the thing that I did with other people, which was like, maybe it was a grift. I don't know. But I was like, hey, what's up? Like, how did you get here? What do you do? Like, da, da, da. And he was like, he's like, I'm a stunt man. Oh. And I was like, oh, awesome. That's cool. And then we were talking. And I was like, how do you move? Like, will you?
tell me about your
stunts. But the thing is, he was like, he used this phrase that I still love to this day, which is balletic sveltness. He was like talking about how he like moves around. And like, if you know me.
Svelte?
No. But like, I love tall men and I love words. And that combination of words, I was like, are you a poet? And then we started talking, and you know, we talked a lot about how, you know, he wanted to break into sort of legitimate acting, but like it was hard for him to get an agent because he was just seen as like this stunt man and like this athletic, you know, beefcake. And I was like, boo-hoo. It's like people only see me as like, you know, like this jacked guy. And I was like, well, I mean, so do you spend as much time in an acting class as you do at the gym? Because, like, maybe that would... Anyway, not my life.
Tommy, you just neg people to get them to fuck you, right? You're like, I must destroy your self-esteem so you will fuck me.
No. No, I build people mind game, up. Though. I build people up. And I take them down. No. So then... I was like, are you working on anything? Or, like, whatever. He's like, I'm getting ready for an audition. And so... we were both staying at this hotel in Vancouver called The Sutton. They call it The Slutton. Because, like, anybody who's there, so many people in Vancouver who are there on production, like, I would go into the lobby and I'd see all these people from Riverdale and some other shows, and I was like, oh, this is where people get fucked. And so there's one side that's, like, the hotel side and one side that is, like, the residency side. So it's, like, the hotel side are for, like, day players and people who come in and out. And then the residency side are people who are there for weeks or months. And I was on the residency side, and he was like, yeah. And we were talking about this, like, scene that he was getting ready for. And he was like, do you want to come by my hotel room and run lines?
Bitch.
And
we all know what that means.
So, The definition of the term run lines is, you know, you go over the script and you talk, and I like, I knew what I was getting ready for.
Yes.
So we go over there and we run lines. And then, you know, we
set the mood, Teebs.
So
with
then,
the candles?
But then the Maker's Mark came out, you know, and
there's not a sluttier bottle of alcohol than Maker's Mark.
That cummy,
something about the wax, yeah, on the top, wax, and how you have to rip it off, like, right, you're circumcising a penis.
Yes, yes.
I think Maker's Mark appreciates some good foreplay because you have to work a little bit to get in.
You have to work a little to get in. Yes. Yeah.
So then we, you know, we as we're running lines, I'm like, this isn't, you know, is this doing it for you? And he was like, no. Can we, like, you know, act it out a little bit more? Which is like, then we just started getting closer physically, you know. And then one thing led to another. Oh my God, I have never had that type of athletic sex in my life. Woo! And like, and here's the thing, like the hotel, it was his hotel room, and afterwards it was just chaos. There was just like, there were like, the sheets were not on the bed anymore. Like the pillowcases were not on the pillows anymore. Like everything was in disarray. And I was just like, I think I might be good on sex for like 3 years. Like, I don't, you know, it was consensual. I was like,
you had to review.
I think I'm,
you had to look back at your notes.
I think I might be done for a while.
Sometimes you're like, did I really? Yeah, I really said yes to that. Sometimes you're shocked at your own self. Yeah. DP?
You're like, you're just, I didn't know I had it in me.
I really did that. I said yes, and then I followed through.
Yeah, and I was proud of myself. And like, in pain.
And also a little bit of shame.
A little bit of shame. Like, did I debase my... I did. And then I was like, you know, and now he's in LA and I see him every now and then.
So
you weren't that over sex, I guess. Well, you needed some more.
What I say to him now is like, you know, this is cool and everything, and I'm down to like make out, and I'm definitely down to like cuddle, but then you have to go home because I can't...
And does he?
Yes. And I'm like, get your shit from anybody you need to, because I can't do that again. Like, I'm good.
Wait, so are you dating? Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
Tommy, you have a boyfriend.
No.
Tommy, so what you're saying is you have someone who comes over consistently, cuddles and watches movie, and then leaves and has sex
commitment on
other people. That's a relationship.
Not everybody wants commitment.
That's a good relationship.
No. He comes over and he makes dinner and he does my dishes. He takes out my trash. We cuddle and make out, and then he goes home.
Yes.
Then he goes home.
Yes.
That's exactly what I want.
How many times a week?
Oh, just I don't do more than twice a week. No.
Twice a week?
Swipe left on relationships.
That's a relationship, ladies.
Okay, anyway. I think it's time we get to the meat of our discussion, the thought process spelled T-H-O-T.
T-H-O-T.
And today we're going to talk about grift and grifters. And, you know, I don't know if you're like this, but I'm oftentimes guilty of only knowing a word by its association, like not necessarily knowing the definition, but being like, I've heard this word in context. And so when we decided to do this subject, I was like, I don't even know if I know necessarily like what a grifter is to the letter of the. So like I said, just look it up. So like essentially a grifter is
poet.
Someone
you
who.
Faggot.
All of those things. So a grift is like a grifter is someone who swindles people out of money from fraud. And I was like, great.
Yeah.
Swindle.
That is a good word too.
It is a good word.
So then like I looked up swindle and it's like, swindle means being fake to steal money or possessions from somebody. And I was like, okay. But then I was like, but fraud, like what is fraud? Which is apparently the wrongful fakery that results in material gain. So basically, a grifter is a fake-ass bitch who does fakery to get money and shit. That's the definition. So I'm curious, what is grift? What does that mean to you?
Oh, Den, do you want to take this first?
Well, okay. When I think about grifter, besides the fact that there are people in the world that I look at and I think, you're a grifter. What I really think about is simply the idea of performance. Because I feel like the linchpin of the grift is that it seeks public perception because it requires perception. In order to be a grifter, you have to be perceived. You have to be perceived as being legitimate. You have to be perceived as being honest about the things that you're working towards. Even if you're sort of grifting quietly, like if you're somebody who's just like quietly siphoning like 8 cents off the dollar into your bank account at your corporate job or whatever.
Quietly siphoning, I like that.
Like, even if you're doing that kind of a grift, like you have to be perceived as being a reliable employee. So for me, the thing that sort of turns me off from it, I mean, yes, it's the sort of perceived dishonesty. Yes, it's the fakeness. Fake ass bitch is true. But the seeking of the attention, of the need to be perceived all the time, feels for me like that's part of my problem. Like that gets to me.
It sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
It's honestly, there's a part of me that respects the hustle a little bit because it takes a lot of effort, I think, to fool a bunch of people. But
well,
I couldn't do it.
We have a Jen Shah fan here tonight.
I don't know who that is.
You do. We talk about it in the group chat all the time. Oh my god. Okay, I'm very.
Oh, she's that
out.
Housewife.
Yes.
From
yes,
LA.
Yes. No, from Salt Lake, Dan. From Salt Lake.
Sorry.
So I was just at a conference about risk, and it was a multidisciplinary thing. And one of the people who was there was a scholar of fraud, actually. And so I'm just like putting it together now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, fraud costs like $500 billion a year. It's like almost a capital T. Like there's more money in fraud than a lot of economies. And a lot of people there acknowledge being victims of a fraud, everywhere from $50 to like, I was flying on an airline and I knew I might not make the flight. And so I clicked, oh, insure my flight for $50 extra. Bitch, they're not insuring your flight. They're not going to give you that money no matter what happens. And so I filed a claim. Bitch, they're like, no, your $550 is mine now, even though you insured the flight. It's all like, there's so many grifts and we all fall victim to them. But my favorite story that anyone told at the conference was this guy who's, again, he's an economist. And he was like, I got grifted when I was living abroad. And he was like, I kind of felt like after I realized I was grifted for thousands of dollars, I missed that person in my life. And he's like, a lot of people who are victims of like very serious grifts, the grifter would come back and say, well, you were just paying for my time. I gave you an experience. I gave you like energy. I gave you this and that. I think where it becomes really pernicious and really like, I don't agree with that, by the way. I heard the audience groan. I just think it's psychologically, it's like, they're all, I think when you've been grifted, you feel angry at yourself, but there, you also miss what you thought you had. Yeah. You miss what you thought you were buying. I miss my $550, right? But I think where this gets really pernicious and very difficult to deal with is how social media takes it to a level where someone can micro-grift 100,000 people, and all they have to get is a dollar from 1/10 of those people.
I want to piggyback off of what you said about the grift, a part of the grift being like, oh, I gave you, you gave me this, I gave you experience.
That's right.
There was a trade.
There was a trade.
So trade is a grift.
Trade is a grift.
Okay. Trade is a grift.
But, sometimes very fun.
Well, okay, so then does trade necessarily mean that it's, does the grift mean it's non-consensual? Or can there be consensual grift? Because if it's about fakery, it's not necessarily, I mean, it didn't say without one's permission, but it was about the fakery. It was about the material possession. It was about like the there was like some kind of gain being gotten ill.
Yes. I do think if there's consent, you're then paying for an escort, which I love. Like I love, like I would like to have an experience. I'm going to pay you $5,000 or $1,000 or $100 or whatever you both agree on. And it's kind of like you wink and nod and you kind of know that it's an exchange. I have no problem with that whatsoever. You know, the grift, I think, implies that there is not that. And I think a part of that is also just like sex work phobia, right? Like we could actually just all be honest about what we're doing here and also just both enjoy. And like, y'all know what findom is? Like financial dom. It's like if you're jerking off and like you're talking to a dom and they're like, pay me $5 to come. And you're like, yeah. And you like pay them $5. It's like, I love that shit. It's really good and fun. And everyone signs up for it. So I feel like the problem with the grift is that there isn't that. There isn't the honest negotiation about what it is we're both signing up for. Although I think grifters often feel like there is, right? They're sort of like, you had to have known, right? Like, so I think that's exactly where the enjoyable pleasure for all sides slips into the grift.
Because if you do, okay, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, or do they just tell themselves that? Because it's part of the grift. It's part of the hustle. It's part of the, I'll tell myself that this is everyone an informed knows. Consent situation that everyone knows so that I don't feel like I'm being dishonest.
Right, right.
I'm curious how you feel about, speaking of the grift and sort of sex work, like the OnlyFans straight guys who like pretend to be like pushing their limits or whatever, who are like, because you know, you see this discourse, or one might see this discourse online about like, about gays being like, don't give him your money, he's a straight guy, he's not gonna do anything, like da 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 da. But like, have these people be watching porn where like somebody, like they're like a plumber, like fuck somebody, like you
wait,
know.
I'm really old. Y'all remember the bait bus?
Oh my God, I do.
The whole premise
that was Heron. Yeah.
the whole premise of the bait bus is you get a straight guy to come into the bus and like fuck or get fucked. And look, I actually don't find straight people attractive. Like, full stop.
But there's an eroticism. There's an eroticism about the sort of nod. And also, it's very fun to watch the straight guy be getting fucked and be hard as fuck and like come. So it's like he's coming into an experience that he's being surprised. There's nothing better in life than feeling a surprising pleasure. And so it sort of allows you to pretend that you were that. Remember the first time you got fucked and you were just like, wow.
That felt my like shitting.
My life is different and better now. You get to watch someone experience that. So in a way, I like all of these sort of layers of nuance and fun that everyone is signing up for, right? It's like you all know that that guy is not straight. The bait bus guy is not straight.
Right. They never are.
They never are.
If you follow some of their, like, they never are. But everyone's signing up for that. Everyone does sort of know what's going on there. I feel like that's sort of okay. But I don't know. That's just me. I don't know that that's a grift situation. For me, if we're talking about sex work, the biggest grift is when I think someone's really hot and then I pay for their OnlyFans and then I see that it's a pay-per-view. Like, you have to pay for every... And I'm like, you should have said that
right.
in your bio.
No, that's
so that I knew that I was signing on for this.
Yes, that's
that to me is a very minor but very frustrating grift.
Very frustrating.
Listen, yeah.
Do you think you've ever grifted or gotten some money in a untoward way? I mean, because the grift is inherently about capital, right?
The biggest grift of all is capitalism.
Yeah.
100%. If you build an entire economy that is considered the wealthiest in the world on the backs of enslaved people
and stolen
bar
land.
None, and yeah. stolen land, you are a state-of-the-art grifter. It's just that simple. That is the grift. The basis of this country is grift.
And the way in which white supremacy makes the most mediocre people feel like legitimate CEOs. Like, Chris Licht was a CEO and did everything wrong and was making millions of dollars
so
a year.
What mediocre.
What a fucking grifter. I mean, my God. I try to make... We were talking about this backstage, and this language came to me then, and I think it's so... It's like grifting up versus grifting down. Like, grift up. Like, grift up. Like... Like, a fucking, you know, I feel like, and this gets very pernicious where the line is, because a lot of creative people, creatives, which is a word that I hate because of its lack of specificity, it's like, what do you do? We're all creative. And it's also like, oh, you're not a creative? Everyone's a creative. You're a person. You have a brain. Everyone's a fucking creative. Stop with this, like, equation of equating what you do for a living with your personality and yourself. Like, everyone has labor and everyone is creative. So I think that's already a little bit of a grift. But like, yeah, if some company like fucking Spotify wants to pay you $10,000 to come in and talk for 30 minutes to the queer people at Spotify, take the fucking check. I don't have any fucking problem with that. But then when you go around pretending that that is activism or that is the revolution...
And then, that's the thing that's going to bring us queer liberation.
Or, oh, we have a queer person in a bubbly seltzer water ad, and that changes everything. And that makes you an activist. What activism are you doing? What communities are you advocating with and for? Who are you in community with? And if you're only in community with people who have over 100,000 people fans on Instagram, if I see you at every fucking event that you're at, and you're only with other influencers, you're organizing influencers?
But you're like, you're never on the lines, you know, on the lines for the strike.
Or you're only on the lines for the strike to have a cute shirt on and have a cute sign and get likes on Instagram.
Wow. Drag me.
No.
You're not even online, Teams.
I looked very cute.
Teams
just happens to have a few cute tank tops and wears them out. You're not
Teams,
grifting anyone.
Do you still
anyone.
Have the tank top that you stole from me in season one?
It's mine now. I want to talk a little bit about something you mentioned before, Joe, and I know you have a hard out at 6, so I'm going to make this quick, but you talked about something that goes hand in hand with the grift, which is grief. And like the grief of like missing out on like the experience, like the person who's been grifted.
Right.
Once the grifter leaves, there's like a kind of grief there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And okay. So earlier this year, I got to be in this television show called Resident Alien. And my character was getting has a partner and they're engaged. And so for about 15 hours, I had a fiance. And not a real fiance, but like, you know, and it's really funny because I found it really hard to believe. I found it really easy to believe. I found, like, because we got there and like I met him that day, and we took the transportation together to set, and we were like talking and whatever, and then I was like, I love this person. 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 I love. I was like, I love this. This man is my fiance. Like, I love this man. I love this man. I love it. So that when the cameras went on, and everybody, all the people on set were just like, this is chemistry. And I'm like, we're acting, okay? I'm a professional.
But were you though?
That's the thing. I don't know. So that like when they called cut, and then we had to go back into the back, and then we took the transpo back to the Sutton.
And did
we,
you?
We like went our separate ways, and I went back to my room, and I got really sad.
Yeah,
and I was like, I don't have a fiance no more. I didn't have one to begin with.
But you had convinced yourself that you had. You grifted yourself.
Didn't I?
Yes.
You grifted yourself for the check, and you know what? We got to do what we got to do. We got to do what we got to do.
But isn't that? But like, so is acting a grift?
I think acting, the grift requires acting, yeah. But acting is not a grift because when you leave, everyone acknowledges that you've made it. Like if I'm watching you on your TV show, I have the double consciousness of like, that's Tommy, but that's not Tommy. Right. And it's like, I know that if I see Tommy in real life, I think a lot of fandom actually has a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Like dissociating the person that they're in love with that is a performance, even if it's a performer or a singer or a band, to understand that the people behind are not really that. It's like the grift is like a Mobius strip of acting where mm-hmm. like you don't know where the actor begins like and where the person ends, and there is no there. It's like there is no person behind the act. And I think that's what really, with grifting, gets really, that's where it slides into, like, acting is a skill and a craft, mm-hmm. so is grifting. But mm-hmm. but I think with an actor, like, I know you.
I'm not an actor.
I mean, maybe you are, but that's the porosity of like human interactions and human relationships, because like, you know, all of us who've been in therapy, I'm sure, have been told at one point or another that like two things can be true, and this is accurate, and that's where it gets confusing, because then this goes back to your earlier point where you were saying that maybe the grifter does believe the performance, like how much of this is actually fake and performance, and how much of this is like two people or two entities having a different experience of the same interaction, the same relationship, you know? Yeah. It gets very porous and it can be very confusing, but I also feel like in that confusion, that's where ultimately sort of the grift lies. The grift seeks to create that confusion, which again requires perception. The 100%. Grift seeks to confuse, to destabilize, and to make it so that the person being grifted or the entity being grifted maybe doesn't even know what happened.
Correct. And it's an ultimate, it's like mass gaslighting, right?
But I think that
one of the reasons why we're here, and one of the things that I think is so pernicious about the grift, above and beyond just the fact that I think it conflates what activism means and what organizing means. I think mm-hmm. people think that organizing means you have to have 100,000 followers on Instagram, but organizing actually means like, where do you work at? Who's your community? Where's your neighborhood? What does your block mm-hmm. look like? What can we do in the land in front of us to make everything a little bit better in our daily lives? But I think, above and beyond the way the grift, I think, confuses organizing and activism, I think also there's a sniff test to it. And I think it's mm-hmm. one of the reasons for the queer and trans moral panic that we're having now, because the whole idea behind the queer and trans moral panic is that these people aren't really who they are. They're right. doing it for attention. They're doing it for money. They're doing it for this and that. So it's actually a real harm done to the community and makes us all vulnerable, because there is indeed a way that the people, I don't think anyone is faking being trans to be a fucking grifter on Instagram or to make money. But I do think people are capitalizing on their opportunities in ways that actually do not say, that are for them and not the community. And I think there's an inauthenticity to that. And I think you can smell it a mile away.
Yeah.
And I think that that leads, that actually harms us all above and beyond the ways in which they are also taking these opportunities to capitalize on what is a collective identity. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, like, you are not the trans person. You are not the queer person. Like, how does your $10,000 affect you, but also affect the people around you, right? So, yeah, it's a really, like, it's so hard because it's also an intra-community conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a conversation we need to be able to have with ourselves, and that's almost impossible to have online. And it's, like, also one of the things about online grifters is you never see them, but online. And if you see them in real life, there's a way in which they always evade.
Oh, yeah, they're there for always. The op. Mm-hmm. You know, they take the photo and they bounce.
And they're in and out. They're in and out.
They're on the picket line for exactly 30 seconds.
That's a big part of the sniff test, too, because we have to remember that ultimately these online spaces are fake. Like, they are not, my days on social media, I think, are numbered. But it's because I'm tired of it. Like, it's just ridiculous to me. But it's so performative. It's so extra. And it exists only in that little microcosm. And so that, to me, is, like, part of the sniff test. But I do just want to add that, like, yes, I think that's super legitimate and that's super true. But also, a big part of the mass panic and all of that that's happening, the moral panic around queerness and transness specifically, it has to do with the fact that for decades and generations, the narrative around queer people has been that we're liars, that we're cheaters, that we are scoundrels, that our identity itself is a grift,
and that we're fake,
that we're trying to fool you. I mean, there are easier ways to fool a bitch than transitioning.
I'm feeling full, but like I could put one more thing inside of me. Den knows how I feel. And our dessert for today is Domino Soundfest. Will you?
Woo! We love our mothers.
Okay, so I'm doing this one. Picture it. What month was it? I think it was February 2016. Mm-hmm. The world was a different place.
Oh.
We had all just met and had decided.
February 2017, sorry.
Summer 2016 is when we were together.
Whatever.
Okay.
It's hot or cold.
It's been in the room too.
Night or day. It's a Schrodinger's cat of time. Who cares? Shut up. We were working on a podcast. And we were working with all volunteer friends, and we put an email out to a podcasting group thread email saying, we're looking for a producer, and we can't pay them now, but we hope at some point we'll have a platform where we all are making a little money. It's a labor of love. Podcasting is so straight, and I mean, I'm white, but also podcasting is so white, and we're just trying to do something a little different. And we had 3 episodes made by then. And we said, we'll send an episode. And so we got a reply, which, like, my God. And it was Alexandra De Palma. And she said, I can't wait to listen to the episode, but sorry, I've had 3 glasses of wine, a Xanax, and half an Ambien, so I'm going to go to bed right now. But I will listen to it. I will listen to it tomorrow morning. And we said, you don't have to. You're hired.
I actually like fully forgot that.
Yes. Literally, this was not written. It just came back to me and thinking about like our history with Alex. And like Alex came onto our show and made it our show. Made it this mix of feeling live and like we're in your living room, but also like editing us to be the best version of ourselves. And I feel like you both have edited us as friends to make us the best, better and best versions of ourselves. And it's just going to be ongoing. You are like all of these people on stage and y'all are one of the major loves of my life. And my life would be different and my art would be different without you. And just this community and this room that's all here, I'm getting a little teary. I just cannot believe the lives that we're making for ourselves within capitalism that is like, we're not starving, but we're doing it. And so D-Fest, I think, is a celebration of people doing it for community, for each other, making something different. And the world keeps shifting. I mean, podcasting now is so different from what it was in 2016, 2017. And y'all are just a part of what is one of the few fucking parts of what is good in all of it. And I love you so fucking much.
And also, don't forget that The first time Alex sat in on a recording, if I'm saying it right, she was like, "Is it okay if I bring my friend Kenyu? Like, we just had a date, and I don't know.
It was just they had just gotten together." And I think Alex was also like, "Do y'all mind if I smoke?" Like, no,
and
bitch,
we were like,
no. "Live."
And then
live.
Like we did our thing, and then afterwards, like we came out of the booth, and Alex and Kenyu were like, "Yeah," and then like. Then, like, there was, we had an impromptu photo shoot. Like, Kenya was like on the couch, and we were just like, "All right, now do this, now do that." And Kit was just like, "Wow, we are just fast friends."
It was just so obvious from that first moment that Kenya was a star, too.
Yeah.
It was, it really was like, and no shade to the wonderful folks who produced us for those first couple of episodes who were amazing and fabulous and are still doing fabulous things in podcasting. But, like, it was just so obvious from the first interaction that these two were our heart and that they were going to be with us for the entirety of this journey.
And just to bring it back, queer family, queer community, interpersonal ties, it's the opposite of grifting. It's like, these are people I will fucking be with until I die, no matter what happens. And I think that is something that we should all strive to build, and I'm so proud of how you build it here in this space.
Well, this episode of Food for Thought was made possible by the generous, unequivocal support of Rosé, and of course, our lovely producers, Alexandra De Palma, Kenya Denise, and Domino Sound.
You!
Please subscribe, rate, and review us 5 stars on iTunes, or we burn all of Joe's sports bras.
No, not that.
I'm Tommy Teebs Pico. You can find me at Hey Teebs, HeyTeebs, on Instagram.
I'm Den Michelle Norris, and you can still find me on Twitter and Instagram at The Den Michelle. And please follow my editorial pursuits at Electric Literature and look out for my novel, When the Harvest Comes.
You!
Thank you.
And I'm Joseph Osmondson, scientist, nonfiction writer. You can find me at josephosmondson.com, and I have news that is not official yet. But I think I can say it tonight.
Say it!
There's a 2-book deal, y'all. 2 more books coming.
I've read one of them. It is a good book. Find us on Twitter at Food for Thought Pod. On Instagram is Gay Sluts Who Read or Gay Sluts Whore Ad. Thank you so much for coming. That's
love you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right,
that's
right.
That. No.
We have an edit. This is why we have a producer. Let's get 2 seconds of room tone. Go.
As always, that's. Wait, how do we do it? I forget.
We haven't done this.
We
in
haven't
so long.
Done a show in so long. And thank you. We've been Food for Thought. That's food. The number 4 and thought spelled how.
THOT.
Thank you.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.